Listen at the words of the song.
I hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind.
Oh, yes.
And it's closer now. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds a call at the midnight cry. We'll be going home
when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call God's children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet Him in the air.
And in those that remain.
I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilled.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, and the signs of the times, they're appearing.
I can almost hear the Father saying, Son, go get my children. And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ shall rise
when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call God's children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet Him in the end.
And in those that
Bibles this morning. Want to turn with us over in Exodus in the 12th chapter.
We're going to talk just briefly here on a couple of things that we might have mentioned at that the sunrise service last Sunday morning early, and to get to a point to where I feel the Lord has led us for this morning. Amen. The Lord had given me another scripture that's in the message this morning, and I felt led in speaking on this line, and I said, then I got to thinking, trying to think of, something that's, that's going to get you shouting and jumping the pews, and I'm thinking, what's something like that, and kept going back to this other scripture, and I said, Lord, give me one of them a lot of preachers gets. He jumped the pews and all, I kept going back to that scripture. I couldn't. And then this scripture here came back to me. He said, don't you remember the other morning when you was talking about at the sunrise service, the scripture stood out to you and it went right along with the other scripture. And I said, yes, sir. Amen. So take it as from the Lord this morning. Exodus in the 12th chapter and verse number 5. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And you shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning. And that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you this day, God, that you have given us this food that we can partake of today. Lord, that our flesh may would try to kick against it. But Lord, the Spirit, Lord, it's food for our soul. Lord, we just thank you already for it. And we receive it by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This story here, we know it comes at the end of all the plagues that the time that Israel was in Egypt's bondage for this 430 years that they've been there, and none of the other plagues could deliver the people out, but it took this that they did and was instructed, because it is Jesus Christ. This lamb is Jesus Christ. They're covered by the blood, like me and you, covered by the blood and delivered from sin, delivered from bondage. And so it's a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. We see here. Tells us in Hebrews, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me. In every story and every illustration of the Bible, it is Jesus Christ. And this is no different here this morning. And when we come to Jesus Christ, there's a new beginning, is it not? And we see here, even in verse number 6, he instructs them to take the lamb and to keep it in this month until the 14th day, or the middle of the month. And this is represented because of a new year, because they've always celebrated a new year in September. The middle of September was the Jews' new year, but now it's moved to the middle of March, and that's when this time is here. In the middle of March is their new year. And it's a new beginning. They was coming out of Egypt into a new frontier. And that's what it represents in mine and your life. Also a new beginning in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. He said in verse number 8, he said, for them to eat of that flesh that night and roast it with fire. The word of God must be roasted with fire, because fire changes a state of anything. Fire changes things. And so when we eat of Jesus Christ, or we eat of the word, there's a change in our life if we'll eat it with the Holy Ghost anointing. Amen. If you just read the word without the Holy Ghost revealing it and confirming the word into you, my friend, you're just reading pages and reading ink. You need the Spirit of God revealing to you what into your spirit what God is trying to convey unto us. Amen. So you eat it with it, and there's a change becomes to take place in our life. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's a new beginning. The day I got saved, amen, and the day I accepted Jesus Christ with fire, amen, there was a new beginning in my life, amen. A new year, new man, amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise God for that, amen. You see, many people eat the word without the Holy Ghost, and that's why they have no convictions. You see, the Holy Ghost brings convictions. When you read the word, that thing, it's a living word, amen. It's going to grow on you. Hallelujah. It's a powerful word, isn't it? I love the word of God, don't you? He goes on, he says in verse number 9, he says, eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water. He said, don't water the word down. Don't go through and pick out your little bits and pieces, you know, the little goodies that some preachers preach and some church people, they just, you know, go through and all they talk, you know, televangelists, all they talk about is money. You know, they go through and find all them little scriptures in there, and it's a lot of them in there, how that you give, and boy, God going to load back on you. And that's all they know, but there's a lot of other things. There's a thing called works in there somewhere, amen? I know there's a lot of blessing, but look here, there's some work in there too, amen. There's a lot of dessert in there, but there's a lot of meat in that word too, amen. Come on. There's a lot of sweets in there, but there's some meat in there too. It'll make you grow. Amen. You can't grow on sweets. Come on. It might make you hyper for a few minutes, but then that sugar runs out a little bit, but that protein and that meat will hold you. Amen. So you need to eat the meat of the word and get it in there. Don't water it down. Don't change the word. Don't tickle nobody's ears. Just how it's written. Just accept it. Amen. That's the way he said. He said to eat it, to eat all of it. He didn't go through and just bits and pieces, but he said eat the head and the legs and the pertinence, everything, eat it all. Amen. Look at the one next to you. He said you need to eat all the word. You need to take all the word. Amen. You see, it's the word of the truth that makes you free. Amen. Amen. He says it was to be eaten, all of it eaten. And it says those that by faith feed upon Christ must feed upon a whole Christ. They must take Christ and his yoke, Christ and his cross, as well as Christ and his crown. Amen. So if we're going to, you know, receive this crown, we got to bear this cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is not divided. Amen. We got to take it all. Hallelujah. God is so wonderful. We take the blessing with the work. Hallelujah. In fact, he said in 2 Peter 1, in the first chapter, I think it's verse 3, he said something like that all things hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given us all things that we need in this life. And that's what some people come to church and come to God for. They just want the things for this life. But he's also given us things that pertain to godliness too. Amen? And things that will make us godly and holy and righteous. And we need to take those things into our life too. And that's when we become a success for God. And that's what he's saying to us. Look at the one next to you. The title of what we're talking about this morning is Don't Procrastinate. You know what procrastinating is? Never doing nothing today that you can put off till tomorrow. Amen. As a lot of times we do that, don't we? Oh, I'll do that tomorrow. The wife wants you to do something around the house. She says, oh, I'll get that tomorrow. Come on. We done got so in the habit of, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. When God asks us to do something today, we'll say, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. Come on, am I the only guilty one in here? Am I preaching to myself this morning? Glory to God. Verse 10 is what we after. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. What are you saying, Brother David? Don't procrastinate. Whatever God wants us to do today, we got to do it today. Else we're going to be burning in hell. That's what that scripture is telling us. It's a picture of Christ. And if we don't accept Him today, you say, well, brother, I'll accept it tomorrow. No, no, no. Tomorrow never comes. If you never accept Him today, while it is called today, you'll be burnt in hell fire. Amen. That's what the picture is telling us and showing us. So He's saying for us to do and let nothing remain of the Lord's work. Do it all in this day. Amen. It was to be eaten immediately, not deferred till morning. Today Christ is offered, and it's to be accepted while it is called today, before we sleep the sleep of death. We must do today. If you're not saved, you got to get saved today. If you're doing a work for God, you need to do the work today. Amen. The calling that God is placing us is for today. It's not for tomorrow. It's not for another day down the road. The calling of God is for today. Amen. That He tells us to do today, we must do today, not procrastinate it. Amen. It was said of Joshua that he left nothing undone. Wow. Paul even told Timothy, he said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have finished my course. I have done everything that God has called me to do. When we get to the point of our life that we're to lay down and depart from here, either in the rapture, that, well, if we hadn't done all we're supposed to do, we won't be going in the rapture. Amen. When He steps out in the rapture, say, come up hither, if we still got work to do, say, well, I would take you, but you still got some stuff to do, so you can't go. It's kind of like when you're little and, you know, and maybe some of your siblings got to go somewhere because they got their rooms clean and got all their chores done. And so they was able to go, but your mom and daddy wouldn't let you go because you procrastinated and you didn't get done what you were supposed to do. So therefore you was left behind and you felt bad. Amen. Joshua, it was said of him, he left nothing undone. I thought that was pretty unique. Amen. It says in Matthew's gospel, the 6th chapter, it is when the disciples come to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we all know the prayer. He said, pray after this manner, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says something pretty unique here. He said, give us, in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. I was listening to old Reverend Ike. How many of you ever heard of Reverend Ike? You had to be back in the 50s and 60s to know Reverend Ike. And it was about midnight on TV, and he was up there, and he was on the stage, and he got on this right here. He said, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. And boy, them people holler, yay, yay, yay. He said, most people don't know what give us our daily bread means. But us children of the street knows what it means. Give us our daily money. And boy, they all went crazy. Hey, hey. And he had the audacity to say, he said, you like these shoes I got on? Yeah. You like this suit I got on? And then, yeah. He said, you ought to like them. You paid for them $500. I'll tell you what I saw. I thought it was comical. When Jesus said, give us our daily bread, He wasn't talking about money. Let me get that straight with you right now. Come on. He could care less about money when they came to him about paying taxes. He just sent them down there to get the money out of a fish's mouth. He didn't carry a wallet around with him. He didn't have, you know, she money. It's a she money. She don't know that I got it. Don't y'all tell her either. He didn't carry that around. No. He wasn't concerned about it. He said the Son of Man don't even have a place to lay his head. Come on. It wasn't money. He wouldn't have been a televangelist preaching money. Come on. But he said, give us our daily bread. Amen. Well, what was he talking about, Brother David? What was he talking about? He's talking not bread. If he's not, he wasn't talking about or physical bread that you eat. How do you know that, Brother David? Because in the very same chapter, a little bit further down in verse 31, he said, give no thought what you shall eat or what you shall put on. He said, don't let that be top of your list. Don't be concerned about that. He said, your heavenly Father knows you got to have money or food. Amen. And you got to have clothing and shelter. He knows that. Don't let that be guiding your heart and driving your passions. So he said, give us our daily bread. Our daily bread is our daily orders, our daily work, our daily calling. Amen. Remember what Jesus said one time when they was eating and they figured he was hungry. And Jesus said, I have bread to eat that you know not of. Amen. What did he talking about? He said that he was sent to do the will of the Father. He said, that's my food. That's my desires. That's what my heart is set on, is pleasing the Father. Hallelujah. Not all these other things that the world is seeking after. He said, I've come to fulfill and to finish the work that God has sent me to do. While it's called today. Hallelujah. It means give us, Lord, our daily orders, our daily work, our daily calling, Lord. What would you have me to do today? I remember when I was at Alumax, it's Alcoa now. I was a supervisor there for 18 years and pastored and worked out there like 12 years. And so every day when we would get there, I'd already have the work schedule made out for that day, the day before. When that sun rose on that day, the work was already set for that day. And the guys would come in. Sometimes they'd check, you know, on the day before, you know, as they was leaving, know what they're doing tomorrow. But they would come to the office and we'd have it posted on outside the wall a lot of times, their work assignment. They just come and look, and then they just take off and go do their work. The work was already done and set for that day, for today. Now, what if some of them had come back later that evening and I said, did you get all that work done? I said, well, no, I didn't ever get around to it. I had some other stuff I need to do. How would that work? I mean, on your jobs, if I know the society don't like to hear this word now, but boss. I mean, we've come a long way. I mean, the workers don't want to hear they got a boss. Look, you got a boss everywhere you go. Husband, your wife is your boss. We submit one to another, don't we? It is not meaning someone that is, you know, your taskmaster. It is someone that's over you. There's going to be someone over you everywhere you go. Even in heaven, there's going to be someone over you. Amen. I wonder on your job if you, at the end of the day, the boss comes in and says, did you get all that work done? I told you to do this morning. He said, no, I never got around to it. I had some other stuff I need to get done. How many in here would do that on your jobs? How many would not do that on your job? Oh, that's better. Get a little participation. Well, then why do we do that to God? He said, offer it to your governors. See if they'll accept that. Offer it to you know, your boss man, the way that we do God. Just let's treat our boss man that way, the one that pays us salary. What about one that gives us everlasting life? How do we treat him? Think about it now. See, if y'all get quiet, that means I'm hitting you right where you're living. So you ought to be saying, amen, brother. That's right. That's right, brother. We ought to be doing for the Lord. Amen, brother. That way I don't know if I'm getting you or not. See? All right. There you go. Amen. See? See? See, that's why I amen a lot when I go hear other preachers. That way they don't know if they're hitting me or not. See, but when you're quiet, that means I'm stomping your toes bad. Glory to God. Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter and verse number 23. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. How often? That's today, isn't it? And follow me. What's his cross? That's your calling. That's your work. Everyone has a work to do. Read Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, said that the Son of Man is like a man taking a far journey and leaving everything with his servants. And he gave every man a work. So every day that we're to take up our calling, our work that we should do in that day and follow him. Amen. Let nothing remain to tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, well, I'll get around to that tomorrow. No, let me tell you, there's nothing more important than the work of the kingdom of God on this earth. There's nothing more important that we got to do than what God would have us to do in this day. Nothing. Ephesians in the 4th chapter in verse 26, he said, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You can read it. Don't let the sun go down upon your work either, or what you have to do. Don't let the sun go down while it's today, while the sun is shining. Let us do the work. Amen. We're not to let the sun go down upon our wrath either. Amen. We need to get it straight while it's called today. Don't wait till tomorrow. You ever take it, had a little quarrel with your wife, husbands? Amen. Now, I know y'all bunch of hypocrites ain't never had no little quarrel with your wife. You had a little quarrel with your wife and the sun starts going down. And you know that scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. And you old hard-head, stubborn, mule-faced person like we are sometimes. And we let the sun go down and that thing cooks and boils all night long and runs out of water. Ain't nothing but a burnt pot in the morning. And we got to eat out of it. We make our bed hard sometimes, but when we do, we got to sleep in it. There's wisdom in this book. He goes on in the next verse and said, neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't just do what God has called us to do today while it's called today. Else if we put it off to tomorrow, you know what the devil will do? He'll be coming around and saying, you should have done that yesterday. Man, the Lord mad at you, boy. You should have done that yesterday. You're a failure. You're a flop. So you give him a place. It's just like some in this building may be in need today. It may not be quite where you should be with God. You might be a sinner today. You might be lost. You never accepted Jesus Christ. The invitation's going to be given while it's called today that you can accept Jesus and your life be transformed in this building this morning and you can get your name written in heaven. But if you get up from here and leave tomorrow, oh, Satan's going to come around because you're giving him place and he's going to give you heyday and he's going to say, boy, you was a dummy yesterday. You ain't going to never get another chance. He'll tell you a bunch of lies. You say, brother, I might have another chance. I ain't promising. I can promise it right now and right today, right here. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the next hour holds. It says in Luke 9:62, he says, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? No man that is looking back into yesterday. He said, I wish I had done what I was supposed to do yesterday. I wish I had done more yesterday. I wish I had done that. Look, friends, none of us is getting any younger, are we? Whatever we're going to do, we better do it now. Do it today. Quit looking back. Say, I wish I had done more. Amen. First Timothy in the 5th chapter, it says some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. What's that mean, Brother David? That means some men's sins that you know, a person has committed sin, it's already in heaven. Amen. That sin's already there. And until we accept Jesus Christ and the blood that Jesus carried back to the mercy seat gets applied and covers our sin, it is before God. Our sin is before God. Amen. And when we accept Jesus Christ, that blood washes our sins away, that when He looks toward us, He sees the blood rather than our sin. And so it's there. Amen. And so those of us in here that are saved this morning, that what He looks, He sees the blood now. Amen? Amen? But then it says some men's sins go after. In other words, after you die, that if there's undone works, remember, there was Joshua left nothing undone. If there's things in your life that are undone, they're going to follow you into judgment, amen. As long as you're living, you might still be able to do them. But if you die without doing them, my friends, they're going to follow you into judgment. So you better do what we're supposed to do. The Lord is instructing you to do something. You need to do it, friends. Don't let your pride stand in your way. Come on. Don't let pride go before your fall. See, people come and they hear the preacher preach and then they don't obey it. And then life goes sour and life turns into a mess. I've seen many people that way. Not just here, but many places where preacher will preach the word of God that God lays on their heart. Say, somebody must have told that preacher what's going on in my life because he's preaching right at me. No, the Lord knows us all. And they'll hear what the preacher says and then they'll rebel. I listen to what that Whitfield guy says. He's old country hick. He don't know nothing. You might have that part right, but I know the voice of God. Amen. I know the voice of God. Listen. We see here the story in Exodus, the 16th chapter, is the time when they was in the wilderness and they didn't have anything to eat. They began to murmur and complain, whine. I mean, they did like church people, wouldn't they? I'm a church person too. And so what did God do? He gave them when they got up in that morning, you know, He gives them manna, all right? But Moses instructs them about this manna. These little white wafers, kind of sweet. That's all over the ground. There's plenty there. Kind of represents the work. There's plenty of work to do, isn't it? There's plenty. It was everywhere. And Moses was instructed by God, tell them to go out there and gather all you want that you can eat in this day. But now don't gather no more than what you can eat in this day. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Amen. Y'all see Brother Steve Creel eat right here? He'll fix him a plate. And when he's finished, if it's chicken, about like Glenn Little back there, ain't nothing but left but bone. I mean, ain't nothing on it. But he's left nothing else on that plate either. He takes just what he can eat. And he don't go back for seconds. Rhymes would love you. He rarely you'll ever see him get a piece of sweet cake. Amen? But he just gets what he can eat. Huh? What do? We pile it on, don't we? Come on. We pile it up. This is Sherry, not me. Yeah, I've been to a restaurant with you. Amen. And we volunteer, Lord, I'll do that. Now, Lord, I'll do anything for you. Lord, I'll just do anything you want. I'll do anything, God. No. Don't be piling on like that. He said, now he said, don't take no more than what you can eat. He said, now, after the preacher has instructed them, they didn't obey. Amen. He said, don't leave nothing until tomorrow. In verse number 20, he says, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. They left it to tomorrow. They didn't do it today what they're supposed to do. They didn't get saved today. They didn't do what God called them to do. Amen. What happened? Their tomorrow only bred worms and stank. Right? They left it over till tomorrow. And the manna bred worms and it stank. Look to the one next to you and say, I'm glad you don't stink. You ever seen stinking Christians? I preached a message not long ago, stinking the church. You ever seen stinking Christians? Huh? I think I did that one time, stinking thinking too, didn't I? They preached 22 years, you go hit a lot of stuff. What does stink mean? Stink means to smell bad spiritually. A spiritual stink. I'd rather smell body odor than a spiritual stink. Body odor, you can go take a bath, put a little cologne on or something, but spiritual stink, man, is deep inside. It'll kill you. It means to be offensive morally. Offensive morally. Amen. It's like some people today, when they begin to say, well, we're living in 2010 now, and the church has learned now. Them old people in the church didn't know, but we got us an education now, and we know the way to do. And you don't have to live like them old people said you had to live, and you don't have to do those things that, you know, old Whitfield guy out there talks about, and being holy, and, you know, you don't have to do it. We live in grace, man, grace. Kind of like Peter was with Jesus. When Jesus began to talk about the work, when he's talking about, you know, doing, you know, fishing and you know, casting net on the other side and doing all this stuff, old Peter, he's right in there. But when it came down to doing some work, Jesus began to tell in Matthew's gospel, the 16th chapter, about him going to have to go to the cross and be crucified, do a work, do his calling. Oh, Peter said, oh, man, you ain't got to do that. You don't have to do that. What did Jesus say in verse number 23? But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a, what's that word? Offense. You stink. Peter, you stinking, boy. You're a stink unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. And that's what's the problem with the church. They're seeking the things of men rather than what God would want. It's what I want in me and what, you know, the church wants rather than what God wants. That's stinking thinking. You're an offense unto me. He says in Matthew's gospel, the 18th chapter, verse 7, he says, whoa. Boy, when the Bible said, whoa, you need to listen. Woe unto the world because of offenses. It's like the runaway horse that we are. And the Lord said, whoa, it means stop and let's think and talk about this a little bit. Think about what we're doing. He says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom offenses cometh. Amen. Woe unto us if we cause others to stumble. Offense means to stumble. Cause others to stumble. We're a stumbling block before other people, amen. And the Bible said, woe be unto you if you're a stumbling block to others because you say that you'll do and you will not do. And you tell God you can do and you will do, but you will not do. Woe be unto us. Amen. Are y'all with me? Y'all asleep? The Bible said that it bred worms. I ask you, are you a worm for the Lord? Are you a worm for the Lord? What is a worm? Worms have no backbone. They have no backbone. Listen to this. They have no legs. They won't go for the Lord. They won't stand for the Lord. And they have no eyes. They're blind. Wow. Are you a worm? See what happens when we don't do today what we're supposed to do. Tomorrow we become a worm. No backbone. And we have no legs. And we have no eyes. We don't have a vision. He says the people perish for lack of vision. The church is blind. It has no vision. Has no backbone. That's why they won't stand against the wiles of the devil. They won't stand against corrupt politicians. They have no backbone. They just mutter through life and they have no backbone. Sin is all around them and they never open their mouth. Their loved ones are going to hell and they never tell them about it. They have no backbone. I've heard my dad talk about men that had backbone as big as saw logs that would stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and be like Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Glory to God. Look at the one next to you and say, thank God I'm not a worm. Amen. See, instead of worms, listen, they work decaying vegetation into the earth. I mean, worms have their purpose out there, but not in the church. They work decaying vegetation into the earth and aerating it with their tunnels. It's all purpose of God and things, but I said that to say this, they're comfortable being around decaying things. Sin is decaying. Are you comfortable around sin? Are you comfortable around decaying things? Or does it make you uncomfortable? Does it rustle the hairs on the back of your neck and you got to say something about it? Aerating. Do you bring life to decaying things to make it decay even faster? That's what it's talking about. It says decaying matter often teems or abounds with tiny worm-like maggots. In other words, worms beget worms. It also said some worms are parasites. There's worms probably in a lot of churches around. Could be some in ours. It says some worms are parasites. What does a parasite do? It lives off others. It lives off others' labors. It lives off others' prayers. They never pray, but they come wanting you to pray for them. They never teach, but they want you to teach their loved ones. They never fast, but they want you to fast to have the power of God. They never study, but they want you to always have a fresh word that'll turn them on. Come on now. I'm almost finished by another hour. I'm just glad we don't have any parasites in our church. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Amen? The bread, the worms and the stink in that old leaven, you know, purge it out. You may be have a lot of stuff in your life this morning that we have not done for the Lord, and we're carrying around this old wormed bed of bread full of worms. Days that we've not done anything for God, and stuff that we should have done and we've not done. And we're probably all in this building guilty in one way or another of doing, not doing what God has called us to do a time or two. Come on. I'm not here looking down my long nose at you and saying you need to be like me. No, I'm here with you, among you. Amen. None of us, the last time I checked, and let me look around. None of us is in heaven yet. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Let's start it today. This is the middle of the 14th. If I know it's not the 14th, but I'm just saying there in the Exodus, he said, hold your lamb, get your lamb to the middle of the 14th, a new year. Let's start from right here today, right now, forward. I can't change yesterday. I can't go back. Yesterday's gone, man. But boy, I can sure make a difference from here on, right? Come on. He says, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sanctified for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of, what's that word? Sincerity and truth. In other words, be sincere about the work of the Lord. Be truthful about it this morning. Don't leave here this morning like we're all that. Come on. If we need to repent, let us repent. Let's be truthful with ourselves and with God and with one another. Let's be sincere about the work of the Lord, that it needs to be the most important thing in our life. And sincerity and truth. Remember what Joshua said in Joshua 24 and 14. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him, what? In sincerity and truth. I believe Joshua served the Lord in sincerity and truth. That's why he left nothing undone. And put away the gods. Put away the things that are so important to you. Put away the things that are distracting you from doing what God has called you to do, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your father that served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, I love old Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on. Fellas, I'm talking to you. That ought to be your commandment in your house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If the wife don't want to go along with that, put her out. Time she sleeps out in the yard a couple of nights, she'll get over that. I ain't talking about divorce. I ain't talking divorce. Your children don't want to go along with it, put them out. Like I told my children when it's in my house, I said, as long as you putting your feet under my table, you're going to go by the rules of my house. I didn't have to say that but one time. Amen. I usually don't have to repeat myself a lot, except to Sister Connie. Amen. Oh, but boy, I had her on her knees begging me the other day, boy. Yes, sir. Begging me to come out from under that bed. No. I just tease it. What did Jesus say? John 9 and 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. He didn't say I must work my works. I must do what I need to do. He said I must work the works of him that sent me. Look at one next to you and say, I'm on a mission for God. Now if you lied, I'm going to give an altar call in just a minute and you can get forgiveness of that lie. I'm almost finished. Those come in instruments. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is, what's that word? Day. That means leaving none till tomorrow. Because it said night cometh when no man can work. There's a day coming, my friends, that we wish we had done. You know what? When I got saved, I think I was about 31 years old when I got saved. And it made me mad, Sister Rhema. I actually got mad that I'd been so ignorant of all the years that I had wasted. My goodness, look at the... Wednesday night I sent some CDs, Sister Vanessa Martel. She's in the back, isn't she? Runs a ship it shop. I asked her to mail them for me to one of my cousins that I used to hang around with when I was young. I said, I saw him not long ago at a funeral. And I asked somebody about where he's at, you know, and said, he's outside somewhere. And I saw him over under a tree over in the shade smoking, sitting over there. And I said, I'm going to go see him. And I started across the parking lot. He saw me coming. He got up. He'd had a stroke or something. He's kind of like this. Squirrel, we called him. David Floyd's his name. And he was always... Let me go on. I'll be talking all day about reminiscing about our old days. Yeah. He's very acrobatic, though. He could stand still and turn a flip over backwards. But anyhow, we met about middle of the parking lot. He said, man, how you doing? I said, good, how you doing? We talked a little bit, you know, and I said, man, are you in church? No, I ain't going. I said, man, you need to get in church, you know. I said, I'm a preacher now, you know. Yeah, I know. And I got talking to him about the Lord, you know. And I said, man, all the times we used to run together. And I said, man, I'd love to see you go to heaven with me. And we talked for a while. And I said, man, I don't have prayer with you, man. And I prayed with him, you know. And I sent him some CDs and. What I'm doing is I'm trying to redeem time. You see, for all them 30 plus years that I didn't do anything for God, if it's something I can reach back there and try to, some of them, you know, people that some of them did, I can't do nothing about them. But maybe some of them I can do something with, you know. And the Bible talks about that redeeming time. He goes on, he said in Ecclesiastes in the ninth chapter, he said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We got to do it today, friends. Today. Everybody said today. We got to do it today. There's no time like today. He said in Colossians 4:5, he said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That's what I was doing, sending those CDs. I'm trying to redeem the time. Ephesians 5:16, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Buying back some of that time. He said in Psalms 34:10, he says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. What does young lions do? You ever seen them? They're just playing. There's a lot of people playing church. They're just hopping around in good times. They want to hear a good scripture and a good blessing. And bring me something to eat and feed me and give me some milk. But they suffer hunger, don't they? But they that seek the Lord. What is seek the Lord? That means, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Lord, what is it that you have called me to do today? He said, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Those that seek the Lord are those that are sincere about their walk and truthful with their walk. Job said in the 23rd chapter, verse 12, he said, neither have I gone back from thy commandment of thy lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, he said, I put God's will ahead of my own will. When's the last time we've done that, church? Come on. When's the last time we've actually wanted to do something and we really need want to do it? I said, no, this is more important. That's a rarity nowadays, isn't it? to actually put something ahead of our will. It's whenever, well, I ain't got nothing else to do. I guess I'll go do that for the Lord. When's the last time that we knowledgeably can remember putting something ahead of our will, like God's will, and doing what He's asked us to do? More than my necessary food, give us, Lord, our daily bread. God, before I ask you anything else, Lord, give me what you want me to do today. I could care less about all these other things. They're going to, you know, thieves break in and steal them and you know, moths eat it and wood rots. Lord, what you have me to do? Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And lastly, in Hebrews, in the 3rd chapter, verse 7, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice. If you will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation or the provoking in the wilderness where the people said, yes, Lord, we'll follow you. But the next day they will not follow him. Back and forth, up and down and all around. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. Today, if you hear his voice, church, he's calling. Today, if you will hear his voice, just bow your head right this moment before you stand. You're in here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Today, he's the God of today, not tomorrow. He's calling you today for a newness of life. He has spoken to you in this service. I have felt it. He has spoken to you and he's calling you today. You're in here this morning and maybe you've been procrastinating with your calling. You've been playing with your calling. And you're not being sincere and truthful with it. He's speaking to us today, church. He's speaking to you. And he's calling you out to acknowledge, to admit. I want to ask you to stand. And when I do, I want you to come. Don't let anything hinder you. Someone is sitting next to you. Just get up and they'll let you out. But you come. On three, here we go. Are you ready? You're lost and undone. Today's your day. Today. Today. He's the Lord of the day.